And it's just like them being debilitated, right? And me being a capable human being, I need to be doing stuff and do it in a positive light, right? So that's what drew me to Haymakers for Hope, because it's like, it is a fight, right? Like all these people are fighting all these things. And why shouldn't I be fighting?
From Haymakers for Hope, this is Not Every Fight Ends at the Bell.
Haymakers for Hope exists to knock out cancer the only way we know how, fighting for a cure through charity boxing.
Thanks to generous supporters and more than 1,200 ass-kicking do-gooders, Haymakers has raised over $25 million for cancer research, care, awareness, and survivorship. But the march towards a cure continues long after the last bell of each event.
I'm Julie Kelly.
I'm Todd Buster Paris.
We know firsthand because we are not just your hosts, we are also survivors.
On this podcast, we will highlight the stories of fighters, survivors, organizations, and supporters. Not every fight ends at the bell.
Round one. Hello, listeners, and welcome to Not Every Fight Ends at the Bell. I am Julie Kelly, co-founder of Haymakers for Hope, with my co-host, Todd Paris. Today, our guest is current Denver boxer Ray Tomczyk. He is training out of TOS Boxing, and he is participating in the Rockies event being held on June 13th in Denver, Colorado. Welcome, Ray.
Hello.
So, Ray, tell us a little bit about yourself, how you found yourself boxing.
So, my buddy Chase Campbell, he was a fighter last year. He actually was, I believe he was the number one razor last year for Rumble in the Rockies. So, he did it. I was hanging, you know, he's been one of my best friends for over 20 years. So we were talking a lot, hanging out a lot. I talked to him after training, and he started it for Haymakers for Hope. He did not train boxing before he started like his 4.5 month journey. So it was interesting with that. He told me a lot. I'm glad he didn't tell me everything because some of it I needed to experience myself, such as I swear I'm getting good. Like, you know, I mean, I did break my nose in sparring 2 days ago, but hey, it was actually fun. Like, I don't know, you know, it was interesting. But I did it with Chase. He was like, I'm going to nominate you next year, blah, blah, blah. I was like, all right, well, let's see when we get there. Christmas time comes. We have a few beers and a few more beers. And I was like, let's do it. And no backing out after that, pretty much. So I found it through Chase is why I did it. Throughout the last couple of years, my mom had MS and she's in a wheelchair. And I don't know, like I live a fun life, but I'd also be like, look at my mom and be like, oh, maybe I'm spending a little bit too much time on a bar stool or having too many beers at the golf course. Like I need to live a little bit better and do all the things that she can't. And it was in my mind for a couple of years. Chase did this. It was in my mind even more. And then I jumped into it after I told Chase and then started training January 26th.
So no boxing experience prior to training for Haymakers?
Correct. The first time I was ever in a boxing gym in my life was at TOS Boxing on January 26th.
Ray, how did you wind up at Touch of Sleep?
That's who Chase trained with. And we had one of our buddies, just he never fought for Haymakers, Jake Salazar, trained with him years ago, just for the fitness side and everything like that. And then Chase trained with him. And just, yeah. And I didn't meet DeVeril until my first day at TOS, but Chase talked about him a lot. But again, saved all the good stuff for me to experience firsthand.
Yeah. You can't really describe DeVeril until you meet him in person. And for our listeners who don't know, so DeVeril Williamson is a coach and the owner of TOS Boxing, I believe in Englewood, Colorado. TOS or Touch of Sleep was DeVeril's nickname when he was a boxer and still is his nickname. But he was a very well-decorated amateur athlete and a pro. He actually fought a Klitschko. He has been a long-time supporter of Haymakers since year one in Denver. He's unbelievable. He trains a ton of people for this event. He's kind of just like a hype person. He's a huge supporter. And he is just an absolute character. So I can only imagine how training is going.
I learn, and not through him, like he talks about his boxing past, but not in like, look at me type of things, like to teach us a lesson or something that happened or everything. And I mean, and to add to that, he's one of only three boxers that's in the Colorado Sports Hall of Fame. The first one being Jack Dempsey in 1965, which I just learned today. Now, I knew he was in the Colorado Hall of Fame, but the Jack Dempsey thing I just learned today, which is pretty amazing. But he is, I learn something new about him every day, but not from him. Like, I'll pick it up from one of the other boxers.
Ray, I want to touch a little bit about your connection to Haymakers for Hope.
Yes, sir.
As everybody listening knows, and as you know, it's a charity event that raises money to help literally fight cancer. How has cancer affected your life?
So cancer, like I said, I mainly, one of the huge reasons I got into it was because my mom and her MS being in a wheelchair, right? But now with that, that was like my, because she just actually passed on February 15th.
I'm sorry.
Thank you, which we can, but I started training before that, so we can talk about that a little bit later, because it's been powerful. My, where I am in life right now, because of the training and how I was able to deal with that. With my Haymakers for Hope, you know, you do the photo, which is super cool. Like, Media Day was amazing. And the people that were in there are all people that are close to me that have it and had it. Thank God, out of that whole photo, only one person passed away. But just the amount of different stories that there are involved with that, right? Like, everything from my best friend's mother, April, her husband, Steve, who I'm really good friends with, got diagnosed with cancer in 2011, fought it all the way through 2000. Well, he still has to get like chemotherapy and stuff, but he's still, you know, lives an active lifestyle and all that kind of jazz. But he goes through this whole battle, experimental chemo stuff for like 6 years. They don't call it remission, but then, you know, but he's better, right? From the chemotherapy stuff. April gets it in 2017 and is gone in 2018. So she lived that whole thing with him. They lived that together. Think, okay, we're over the hump. And then, you know, so you have a long battle and then a just a very short, relatively short when you compare those, right? And then I'm blessed. I have two moms. So my other mother, she just went through breast cancer surgeries. She came out of that good just this past December. Thank God. But that's interesting because she's very open with me and, you know, I'll keep those conversations private between her and I, but just her journey through that of what it is that she just went through, you know what I'm saying? And just things that trials and tribulations like to go through after you went through life to this now a whole nother set of things to deal with, right? One of my good friends, I'm 47. One of my good friends, Red, Eric Dahlstrom, he went through like during the pandemic, he went through colon cancer. So, and he told me I could share a story, but he told me to tell everybody, like, get that checked. Like, it's never too early because his actually, he just happened to get it checked early and they found it early. So thank God, right? He's good now. He's in remission. And then I have another one of my best friend's dad who is, I'm very close to. He's more like kind of not, he's like my uncle. He's just been, since I was a kid, just a great person in my life. And he went through cancer and then in 2002 got his scans and he's better now too. But just all three, like, well, all five of the one, two, three, four, five, all five of those people on the cancer side are just such unique, different stories, but all of them dealt with it very strongly. Like it is pretty amazing, I should say, because they're all still going through it, right?
Ray, I'm curious about, so you mentioned your mom. How does that connect to Haymakers? So I'm just trying, like, I understand part of that. I'm just, it's right. Interesting.
So where it connected to Haymakers for me was just, it's still just like seeing these other people that I was just talking about going through their battles, right? And then my mother's battle with MS, where that got diagnosed in the early 90s. And then for the last, I'm bad at time because I don't have kids or wife. So, like, you know, like sometimes I just kind of judge things by how tall my nieces and nephews are. But, you know, my mom was in a wheelchair for well over a decade and just not being able to live your fullest life, right? Like, whether it be cancer, whether it be MS, whether it be kids that are going through kidney dialysis stuff, you know, like the charity I'm doing is Bags for Fun. And that's one of the things that they do outside of cancer is that too. And it's just like, them being debilitated, right? And me being a capable human being, I need to be doing stuff and do it in a positive light, right? So that's what drew me to Haymakers for Hope, because it's like, it is a fight, right? Like, all these people are fighting all these things. And why shouldn't I be fighting? Like, I'm capable of doing it where they can't.
You know, to share, my mother has MS. She has had MS for almost 45 years. She walks with a cane. She is an old Irish woman who's very stubborn, who she actually takes boxing times a week. Yeah. Which is incredible and has been very helpful for her. But while it's not cancer, it's still an illness and it's still extremely debilitating. I love that your mother and her struggle was really a motivator to get you into this. I feel like people who come into this with that motivation for someone else, especially the other people, it drives them even harder in the gym. Because Ray, you can tell us, you're in the thick of it right now. I'm way removed from training for a fight, but you're in the thick of it. You know how hard it is every single day to get up, know, all right, I'm going to be out of breath. I'm going to get my ass kicked today. I got to eat right. I got to run. I got to do all this. But when you have that person on your shoulders or in your heart, it really drives you. Not Every Fight Ends at the Bell is presented by Haymakers for Hope. To donate, sponsor, attend an event, or better yet, to sign up to be one of our ass-kicking do-gooders, visit haymakersforhope.org. Round two. Ray, I can't imagine what it must have been like to be, you know, having just started training. What were you like just a few weeks in and to have your mother pass away? My question there is, do you think that it was helpful for you to have taken on this? Because it's a massive responsibility. Not only are you learning how to box in 4 short months, but you're also fundraising. So just talk to us, I guess, about it.
Yeah. So the fundraising is what took the hit when it first happened, right? Like, you know, so, and also just on the fundraising, kind of to start on the lighter side of things, like on the fundraising side, I kind of knew in my head I wasn't going to start doing the fundraising really until after I got past the sparring my, you know, media day, sparring my opponent. And that was just because I wanted to show I have a wide network of people, and I wanted to show that when I started this thing, I was 227. This morning, I'm 205. Wow. You know what I'm saying? So, like, it's legit, which has been amazing, right? Like, in its own right. You know, whatever it might be, I grew up Catholic, but I, you know, I don't know. I believe in a higher power, whatever that might be, but God, Allah, baby Jesus, whatever, put me in the right place at the right time with boxing and with the people at TOS. You know, you don't want it to happen, but if it was going to happen, I was in the best environment it could happen in. Jennifer, who's amazing, DeVeryl's wife, you know, she came to the funeral, but because, you know, coach, like, that's what people don't realize, because Todd, you're a coach as well, right? Right? Like, you guys are at the gym every day. If you're not there, there's a lot of people that aren't training, right? So, right. Like, Jennifer came to the funeral. DeVeryl couldn't be there, but, yeah, it's still just so supportive. And the thing, the unintended, there's so many things that I didn't know that Chase didn't tell me, which I'm glad he did not, which was how much of a family that environment is, right? Like, I mean, I played sports when I was young, you know, like in high school, all that jazz, all that. But I forgot what having that kind of daily team interaction is. And finding out that boxing in general is really a team sport, like so much of a team sport. But with my mom, I mean, you know, giving up drinking for this whole process, right? So that was good, just to not even have. But I didn't even want to, like, you know, it wasn't like, oh, that was a tough day, I want to have a glass of whiskey. Like, I was like, I want to go to the gym. I'm eating right. And one of the good things usually when tragedy happens, right, you just can't sleep and all that jazz. Well, I mean, it was a little harder to sleep, but not too much harder, right? Because, like, I mean, I wake up at 3:25 a.m. and I'm at the gym at 5. Because DeVeryl, Matt, there's 6 of us fighting, but Matt Runyon and I were 2 of the guys that just joined 4 Haymakers, right? We both started on January 26th training. So he's like, if you want all of me, if you want the most of me, he's like, I'll be here at 5 a.m. You guys down? Yes, sir. Let's do it. That was great because, number one, I'm waking up super early in the morning, right? I fill up my bathtub at home just to do a quick cold plunge just to kind of get the juices flowing, right? Jump in the truck, get there, do that. And the beautiful thing about boxing that I, again, learned that I did not know is that for the hour and 15 or 2 hours that I'm there, just depending on the day, right, it's a vacation from my mind. You don't have time to think about anything else. I'm weightlifting. I can think about all this other stuff, right? Like, don't get it twisted. When I'm hitting a heavy bag after my mom went down, of course, that's in there, right? But in there so much, I got a level 2 lat strain, like, during that time. But it is truly just a vacation from your mind. And then you're walking out, your endorphins are popping, and I was capable to take it all in a little bit more, I believe, along with the support of everybody at the gym. Like, we could go 3 hours if I could just talk about just how amazing that part of it was, you know?
I mean, that resonates so much with me. The gyms that I was lucky to be part of down in New York City when I was, for the most part, I was competing were, it was a home away from home. And, you know, I had my apartment and stuff like that, but I spent most of my time in the gym. On a day off, I still went there to have lunch. I didn't really know what else to do. You know, it was boxing, 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 and that was my family. You have a bad day, whether in the ring or at work, and somebody's going to lift you up or somebody's going to, you know, snap you out of your bad mood by going a few rounds with you. There's something to be said how special boxing gyms are, and you really don't know it until you experience it. And boxing gyms, the people in the gym, just the exercise itself really saved me after, you know, after treatment. It gave me a purpose. It gave me a place to go every day that wasn't, you know, a bar or you know, somewhere else. It gives you a focus, and there are other people encouraging you to be your best self, to be your best version. And it's really challenging, and you're fighting for a purpose. You're fighting for a reason. And your fundraising make a difference. So it's amazing to hear that. And I love that you're at TOS, because DeVaryl is, he's great. And he definitely has, his gym is very community driven.
It is. We did media day there, you know.
Yes.
And yeah, so it's cool. And he's a human, like, Todd, have you ever met DeVaryl face to face?
I have not.
Okay, so he has these cool, like, blue eyes, right? He's a black gentleman, but has these cool blue eyes. So, like, he's like a human scoreboard. You know if you did good because the eyes just get a little bit brighter. And he gets all like, yeah, right? And the eyes get a little bit brighter. And you're like, all right.
Yeah, that's all you want to do is you want to make your coach happy. Win or lose, you just want to make him happy. I tell people all the time, the only way people will always reach out. Oh, I have, you know, my coach, he did so much for me. She did so much for me. What can I buy them to pay them back? And I say, honestly, the only way you can pay back a coach is by going in the ring on event night and doing what they have taught you to do over the last couple of months. That is the best way. Whether it's you get the W or not, if you go in there and you say, hey, look it, you showed me this. I'm doing what you showed me to do. That is the best way you can pay back a coach. There is nothing like getting a huge hug or a big smile after a fight because they know you trained your ass off and you listened. You absorbed it. That is the only way you can pay them back.
And then the family aspect of it, like you're saying, like we have a, and again, you know how it is, boxing gym, like nicknames, right? Like Magic Mike, he's one of DeVaryl's guys, like, because DeVaryl has like a handful of guys that he's trained for a long time. And Mike's not training for a fight, but he's like, I have like essentially six assistant coaches, you know what I'm saying, throughout the time. But Mike trains with Matt and I every day. So DeVaryl's coaching, but Mike's with us doing suicides, tire flips, you know, all the stuff, all the things. But he's also coaching me too. And coaching Matt. It's just, it's some of the most effective coaching I've also ever had in my life.
So what's your nickname?
Ray.
Ray of Sunshine Thompson.
Something like that.
There you know, go.
With my fellas, I'm Ray Ray. So
Ray Ray?
It's just Ray. Hands up. It could be Ray hands up. You know what I'm saying? Ray hands up or Ray breathe.
Like, there you go.
It's one of, or Ray push-ups, because, you know, when you mess up the combos, right?
I like Ray of Sunshine.
I got a few.
And Ray, what would your coach say is their favorite thing about you?
He just sees that we're committed. You know what I'm saying? I think he likes that he sees that I'm committed. My main training partner, because like I said, there's six of us out at TOS that are fighting, but my main 5 a.m. guy is Matt. And he sees that we're ride or die for this and now for TOS. It's... like I said, man, I mean, Haymakers for Hope, anybody, it's, like I said, just with the tragedy I went through with my mom, I mean, I just can't tell people through, you know, and don't get it twisted. I was 227. Part of the reason I jumped into this thing was for myself as well when I first jumped in, right? But I jumped in the ocean without knowing how to swim. And if you have the right coaching, like, it's there. I could barely do step-ups, like, just because I thought my knees were bad. Well, I thought my left knee was bad. No. That was a lot of inflammation and whiskey in there. You know what I'm saying? Like, now I did Tuesday night. I did 30 box jumps, you know, like the tall box jumps. I was like, who's what? I have the answers to the test now. It's only my fault if I go backwards as far as like health and mental health as well.
Yeah, the physical aspect is kind of a no-brainer. You know, if you cut something out that you've been doing a lot and you substitute that with exercise and healthy eating, it's, you know, it's science. You're going to change that way. What people underestimate is the mental aspect and how you start to look through parts of yourself that maybe you didn't either know were there or didn't know how to confront them. And you really have to confront a lot of things when you're in the ring and somebody's beating the shit out of you or trying to beat the shit out of you. And you have to give yourself a chance to be your best you and to cut out all that bad stuff. It's the best thing you can do for yourself, because then you know on fight night when you're getting in there, you're not getting in there thinking, I shouldn't have been going to the bar once a week, or I should, you know, I really should have done those long runs that DeVarro told me to do. You're like, I gave myself the highest advantage I possibly can. I am getting in here at my peak. And that's the best way that you feel so confident walking in there, just because you know you've done everything you can possibly do. And I do think that, you know, Ray of Sunshine has a better ring to it than Whiskey Knees.
Whiskey Knees.
I agree with that one.
We did have a girl one year who is an amazing boxer, awesome person, incredible mom. And she had the nickname, her fight name was Whiskey Fists, which I've always thought was hilarious. And she's awesome.
But did she, because she was throwing like she was like doing the drunken monkey or what?
No, she won. She had a great fight. I think she's gone on to compete more. She's like Caitlin Fazio. What's up, Whiskey Fists? She's got four sons, all I think under the age of 10. She's just amazing. But that's one of the best nicknames of all time.
That is good.
Not Every Fight Ends at the Bell is presented by Haymakers for Hope. Did you know there's more to Haymakers than just boxing? We also have opportunities for you to lace up your sneakers and run a marathon with Team Haymakers, or grab your clubs and play in one of our golf tournaments. Visit haymakersforhope.org for more. Round 3.
Ray, what difference do you want this boxing match to make for you personally? And what do you want big picture wise to sort of happen after this?
Well, when I started personally, I was just trying to, like I said, kind of do like a cold plunge of life a little bit, right? Like, let's get through it and see what happens, right? Since I've started, I just wanted to curb things where live a more balanced life is when I started this thing, right? And I see, but I was kind of like, oh, well, how am I going to do this thing? You know, because like I have a wide group of friends and we like to have a good time. You know what I'm saying? It's not like we're freaking crackheads or something, but we like to have a good time. You know, I mean, you're going to the lake, you're going to this thing, you're going to somebody's vacation, somebody's blah, 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 blah. Right. And with that, boozing's involved. And maybe I was with a personal trainer before that. Well, still I am. I still go to her and she's awesome. But I'd go through peaks and valleys, right, with that. Because I just also never really been passionate about like lifting weights, where my brother-in-law asked me when I started this, he's like, what if you really like this? And it's like, you find this thing at 47, right? I'm like, yeah, we'll see. And I'm like, dude, you can't go backwards. But I mean, 100%, it's in my mind. Like Heidi, one of the other fighters, her and I were texting, and she's like, I wish I would have started younger. Not because we want to be better for our fight, right? Because it's just so impactful and powerful. And the other thing that I learned that I did not know before this. So I was like, yeah, let's get in shape, shock the body, blah, blah, blah. And we'll see where things go before I start. Now that I've started, I'm like, this, not the 5 a.m. thing. That's after the fight, the 5 a.m. thing that I'm going down. You know what I'm saying? Like, we'll be rocking and rolling at like 6-7, not 7 days a week, 4 days a week type of thing. Right. But I do know that, well, I mean, I hope it's going to be in my life, you know, I keep it up throughout my life. Like I said, I believe I have the answers to the test. So it's only my own fault if I don't, right? But Sweet, one of the guys at the gym, he's 51 and he fights Masters. He's fighting in Michigan in July and fighting in Vegas in August. You know, Matt Runyon, who I like, my buddy who, like I said earlier, is Haymakers for Hope, but he's doing another charity thing for some commercial real estate. Like, you have to be in commercial real estate here in Denver to fight it. He's just did his interview, so hopefully he'll get that fight and be fighting again in October. And then how am I going to, we went through it, how am I going to let him train by himself? You know what I'm saying? So what I got out of it is these things that I learned that I believe it's going to be in my life. And who knows? Like I told Sweet, we'll see how this all plays out. You know, I'm going to try to hopefully go to his Vegas fight. to number one, to support him. Cause he, again, he's like another, not like he is like, he is an assistant coach, right? Very, very impactful on me in my training. But the other 50%, like I told him yesterday, is I want to go to check this out to see what it's all about. Like, I could fight at 51. Hell yes. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't know that about boxing. I didn't know boxing could be like soccer where I could just keep going. Right. You can't play football the rest of your life. Like, I just, that was kind of my main thing back in the day. And now it's to know that this can be a thing, right, is pretty awesome.
Yeah. To talk to your point about later in life or just finding it in general, I didn't start boxing until I was 26. And I had a very similar moment to, you know, the only way I can really describe it is you, and I think you'll agree with me, is you all of a sudden find the piece that was missing of you that you didn't know was missing until all of a sudden you walked into a boxing gym.
100%. For a living, I'm a realtor and mortgage broker, right? And it's not really like a place where you're going to the corporate headquarters every day anyways, right? Then pandemic happened, you even went into the office less, right? I didn't realize, and this is even before my mom passed and then even that much more afterwards, that, like I said, like I see my friends and my family, you know, like good amount, right, on the weekends when you can, but not a consistent daily interaction with people unless it was like the Amazon delivery dude or a going to show a client a house, right? And that interaction just for the, yeah, it's just, I can't, it's hard to describe, but it's just like community, but just like, hey, bro, all right, let's go suck it up for 2 hours together, or hour and a half, whatever it might be, and high five at the end.
Now, if you could tell someone who's about to embark on this 4-month journey, you can tell them just one thing, what would you tell them?
Keep the main thing the main thing.
Unpack that a little bit.
So kind of what Julie was saying, it's like, you know, you don't want to leave anything to be like, I wish I would've, I wish I could've, right? So, and I think no matter what happens on the 13th, I think anybody will probably still say, I wish I would've, I wish I could've. But if you keep the main thing is just embrace the suck and know that by embracing the suck, you're going to feel so fulfilled. And the other thing is, as much as you want to embrace the suck, like I had a level 2 lat strain and that was my fault that I let it get there, because you get addicted and you just want to go. And when you have a good coach, like DeVero wasn't forcing me to do nothing, right? He said, you know, advocate for yourself. Let me know what's going on. But you get that thing where you just want to be there and doing it, right? But I would say definitely watch your body as well. Like give yourself some grace and do give yourself some rest days, 1000%. But don't be afraid of jumping in the ocean without knowing how to swim. You know, like, yeah, there's people that have been training for a long time that decided to do Haymakers for Hope because they wanted to progress, right? And have their other reasons too. The charity spoke to them, you know, in a personal level. But there's also people like me who just jumped into the ocean without knowing how to swim. And if you make the main thing, you're going to be so fulfilled when you go from thinking you're going to pushing a sled. I never even did that in high school. Like, you know what I'm saying? And like 3 times, like our first day, DeVero's telling Jennifer, he's like, these guys ain't coming back. Don't even give them a mouthpiece, you know, you know, and you know, today it's 5 times on the sled. And it's like, I mean, yes, challenging, but it ain't no, I didn't think I was going to die. I wasn't thinking about like, oh my God, am I going to make it through this? Just the fulfillment. When you walk out of the boxing gym in the morning or evening, you know, I've only done a few late day sessions, but in the morning, you're like, I found myself driving after like driving back home to get ready. And I'm skippity doo dah day. I'm singing, you know, if people were next to me in the car, they'd be like, what's this guy on? You know, it's just, yeah. And I could, and truthfully, the list can go on, you know, but the main things is just the fulfillment and making the main thing. So you can feel it and it will get better. But as the, when you have an effective coach, as it gets better, it's still going to suck. Cause you know, you're going to be sucking wind the whole time. Cause it's going to keep going forward and going forward. But then it's just like, you know, you can overcome it. And then what else can you take that outside of the ring and outside of the boxing gym? Like what else can I overcome? Right. Can breathe.
Yeah. Boxing prepares you for a lot more than just a few rounds of boxing and slipping and blocking punches and punching back. It prepares you a lot for life. It helped me immensely after about a pretty intense bout of depression post treatment for lymphoma. And I really owe so much to the sport, which I didn't know was going to be a side effect. I just walked into a gym one day and was like, oh, let's give this a shot. This looks kind of fun. So I can really identify with that. And to embrace the suck really is, it's great advice, because it's once you embrace it and you're not afraid of it, every day you walk in there stronger, physically stronger, mentally stronger. You know, I went through that yesterday. I can go through anything. And that's part of building a strong boxer, is you kind of get broken down in the beginning, and you get broken down because you're going to get rebuilt. And that's the power of the sport. And it sounds like you're doing just that. So I'm really, really excited to see you on event night. Just do your thing, just have fun. And sitting here and you sharing your story with us really shows me how far you've come just in the last few months. A, since you started training, and B, you know, since your mom passed away. And I have no doubt that you're going to make her very proud on event night.
Thank you. That means a lot.
What do you think has improved since your halfway spar, since media day? What do you think's improved?
Well, believe it or not, even though this just happened.
For the listeners, he's pointing to a black eye.
Yeah. And Brian Grove, my opponent, turn this off. But keeping my hands up better, mm-hmm. You know, like in the spot, the video that they took of us getting that was very eye opening, because the coaches can tell you everything you need to do, but seeing it for yourself. Right. Mm-hmm. So like coming in, I was keeping my hands up good. But when I was coming in for attacks,
they drop
or charge like bull.
Yep. Yep.
So every time Brian got me, yeah, he was doing a good job, but like it was a lot of me not doing my fundamentals, right?
So if there is somebody who is thinking about signing up for Haymakers for Hope, what reason would you give them?
Finding out things that you didn't know about yourself, finding out things that you might not know you needed in life, like mine, one of those main things, needing that daily interaction with a team, showing yourself just truly how strong you could be. You know, because like, I mean, when I first started, like I'm not a quitter. You know what I'm saying? So like, I know I was going to do it. Right. But I mean, it was an MF-er that, you know, I ain't gonna lie, but that's what made it so much more fulfilling. Right. Like it's the greatest gift that Chase sent me on this journey that I decided, I still had to decide to sign up for it. Right. Like I still had to do it. And it's the greatest, I can honestly say it's for my personal well-being, for Raymond Tomczyk, it's the best thing I've done in my life in 20 years, 1,000%. And it's just scary, but just all of it. And I still got 56 days. Like, I still have a lot of stuff that I don't know what I don't know. And I'm excited about that part, right? Like, that's the things. It's like, you don't know what you don't know until you know it, right? It's not your second day until after it's your first day. And to where it keeps progressing is just amazing, right? You know, it's one of the most fulfilling things I've ever done in my life. And I wish I had 96 days to work on this and all the other stuff, right? But this has been the best it's been in a long time.
That's great. Well, my advice to you is just enjoy the rest of the ride.
When you were 56 days out, Julie, or, you know, 2 months, we'll just say, when you look back, like, give me some advice. Like, what's one of those things, if you were to like be like, hey, Julie, what could you give a dude who's at his halfway mark?
It's a great question.
In the beginning of training, I don't even know. Like I competed for a number of years. I started boxing 20 years ago. So it's kind of hard. I mean, the biggest advice is show up to me. It was show up every day. Every day is a new day. Every single day. It doesn't matter what you did yesterday in the gym, whether it was good or bad. Pack it away, put it away. It's over. Today's a day. Don't think about tomorrow. Just think about what you have to do today and give it everything you got. Some days are going to be good. Some days are going to suck. There are high highs and low lows in boxing. Yeah. So every day, just compartmentalize it and just make sure that you show the fuck up and do your best every single day. And with that said, sometimes doing your best that day, if you need it, is taking a rest. Yep. It's sometimes a day off in the gym is just as effective as going for a 3-mile run. Sometimes you just need to rest your body and you need to rest your mind. And it's just show up, just do your work, be kind, listen to people. The only time don't be kind is when you're punching someone in the face. I mean, you're not doing your friend any favors by being kind to them, but be kind, always be a student, be willing to learn. No one knows everything, and just do your best. that would be my advice.
So showing up every day does, that resonates with me so much.
Yep. Just be present and show up.
The Monday, so the day after we did, you know, and we do the 5 a.m. session. So it was like, you know, we got done with this media day or whatever, you know, it's a long day, right? So we get done with that. I'm there and coach is like, put on your hat. Where's your mouthpiece? I was like, I'm freaking sparring today. What the fuck? Like in my head. Cause I don't, you know, I'm yes, sir. And I'm, you know, I don't give him no jibber jabber. You know, I just say yes, sir, and keep it moving, right? But then I was like, afterwards, I was like, oh my God, that was like the most effective probably sparring session I had, because it was in my head about how I got punched in the face pretty effectively the day before. And I needed to keep up my hands, right? I was hearing even better. It was amazing.
Yep, little by little.
Yeah.
Ray, it was amazing having you as a guest and getting to know you. We are looking forward to seeing you in the ring on event night. For those of you listening, if you'd like to donate to Ray and his efforts to KO Cancer or purchase a ticket to the event on June 13th, please visit haymakersforhope.org and you can search Ray Tomczyk in the search bar. You can also visit the Rumble in the Rockies 6 event page. You can also find links to both of those pages, or you can find a link to Ray's fighter page in the show notes.
Thank you for taking the time to listen. We're grateful for your support.
If you enjoyed this episode, please follow the podcast and tell a friend. To donate, sponsor, attend an event, or better yet, sign up to fight to KO cancer, visit haymakersforhope.org.
Not Every Fight Ends at the Bell is presented and produced by Haymakers for Hope in partnership with Studio Pod Media. Our producers are former fighters Jordan McMillan and Julian Lewis.
I'm Julie Kelly.
And I'm Todd Buster Paris.
You've been listening to Not Every Fight Ends at the Bell.